The Supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness, and I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets and thy messengers whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change. And that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive, and make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty ones.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Almighty. Dear brothers, dear sisters, Salamun Alaikum. Welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about characteristics of a Muslim wife.
I never thought about all the things you have given to me. I never thanked you once. Too proud to see the truth and prostrate to you until I took the first step, and that's when you opened the doors for me. Now, Allah, I realize what I was missing by being far from you.
Today, Thursday, is the 19th of Jamadi Uthani, 1444, of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 22nd of the month of Day, 1401, of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 12th of January, 2023, of the Christian Gregorian calendar. It's nice to listen to verse 13 of chapter Al-Hujurat from the Holy Quran and bless this moment.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Ya ayyuhan nas inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha waj'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila lita'arafu inna akramakum 'indallahi atqakum إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ
O mankind, indeed we have created you from male and female and made you peoples and tribes that you may know one another. Indeed, the most noble of you in the sight of Allah is the most righteous of you. Indeed, Allah is knowing and acquainted.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The Islamic faith rejects all racial, political, ethnological, tribal, geographical, economic, intellectual, cultural, social, and military segregations and places fear of Allah as the standard for distinction between virtues and vice. It's worthy of note that numerous Quranic verses deal with factors leading believing community to perils and forbids people from the same. The blessed verse, verse 13 of chapter Al-Hujurat in question, addresses the members of the human society and thus expresses the most significant principle, guaranteeing discipline and stability and the true standard of human values against false values.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Kawarta darbi, shukran. Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. نورت دربي شكرا شكرا يا رب.
Today and in this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio, we get familiar more about characteristics of a Muslim wife. Nikah is one of the strongest pillars of a Muslim's life, as nikah comprises half of our deen, our iman in this world. Your spouses are half of your deen, so it becomes very important to be cautious while choosing the right partner. This is why many people take longer time to reach the final choice, so that they have to bear minimum risk. A good wife is like a blessing, just like a bad wife is equal to hell. Today, people pay a lot of undue importance on features and beauty, as those materialistic attributes are most important for them. Unfortunately, most of the times, people fail to see the good in character and rejects a person because of his or her poor wealth and beauty. One should seek a wife who is known to be of good character. The one who has been raised in Islamic atmosphere will make your home a Jannah, like paradise, with her principles and morals.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his Purified Progeny, dear and sisters around the world, assalamu alaikum and welcome to this show. This is Ali, and inshallah I will be with you with the topic that we are going to pause and discuss. That is the characteristics of a Muslim lady, a Muslim woman. In this show, we try to mention some of the characteristics of that noble lady. Lady Fatima salam alayha was a model for all the humanity, men and women. The next trait and feature of this great lady of Islam was her unreserved service to family and husband. Unreserved service during the 9 years that Fatima salam alayha was in the house of Imam Ali alayhi salam, having 4 children except for the years when a servant was appointed for her, she did all the tasks at home by herself. In addition to taking care of her children, Fatima salam alayha drew water from the well and milled barley, and she never expressed her tiredness, never blamed her husband for doing such things, and never shirked from the burden of responsibility. The next trait and characteristic of this great lady of Islam was that she was the mine of veil and modesty. Fatima salamullah alayha did not only protect her modesty in worldly matters, but even after her death, she was never willing to put her body wrapped in a shroud in front of the public. That is, even in the afterlife, that we all human beings are going to pass this life, this world. While there is only a shroud wrapped around us. So, until these two things were not guaranteed for her, death was not pleasant for her. So, right after that, she heard that there is a way to hide her body, even in shroud, by a coffin. She felt that now she is ready to live.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every bar.
Today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
You are with today's special, and in this part, most important characteristics to look for a Muslim wife. One of them, a practicing Muslim. As a Muslim man, we are giving some instructions while choosing a Muslim partner. A woman has to be pious, religious, and good-fearing. As a Muslim man, we are given some instructions while choosing a Muslim partner. A woman has to be pious, religious, and God-fearing, and this is the most important characteristic to look for in your future wife. Whether she's beautiful, coming from a wealthy family, that is an extra point. The main thing is to be religious. By practicing, one doesn't mean that she's just wearing a proper hijab. A lot of brothers misunderstand this point. Some Muslim sisters are hijabi, but don't pray on time. They don't observe their fast. They don't possess a religious character. So you have to look at in a holistic way as to who is practicing Islam in a true way and who isn't. In this part of today's special, we're going to look at common rights and responsibilities of a Muslim wife. The duty of a wife is to submit herself before her husband, okay? In absence of her husband, the duties of the wife include the protection of his rights, status, wealth, and respect. Should be his closest confidant. She must not let anyone inside the house without his permission in his absence, for doing so would lead to a lot of misunderstandings, which would have drastic repercussions on the sacred contract of marriage. The Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace and salutations of Allah be upon him and his pure progeny, is also reported to have said, "A wife who gives her husband water to drink attains a reward, a 1 year of worship, a year whose nights were passed in prayers and days in fasting. In exchange of one drop of water, which she provides for her husband, one city is built in paradise for her, and sins of 60 years are forgiven." Imam Muhammad al-Baghir, peace be upon him, said, "The jihad of women is to be patient while facing the difficulties of life with their husbands."
Now, these days, you'll find some sisters, some women saying, "Well, you know, in Islam, I'm not obligated to do house chores." And that's true. It's not a religious obligation. Islam is very clear that a wife, she's not required to do house chores. And some women say, "Since I'm not required, I'm not going to do it." This is wrong. This kind of thinking is wrong. This is your own house. It's your own marriage. The more you contribute, the more you make your marriage a richer experience in life. Yes, it's not your religious obligation. That's true. But out of your own goodness, to show your love and compassion, you should contribute as much as you can. The more you contribute, the more you will benefit. The more your children will benefit. And so we see that this is an issue in society. An issue in our marriages where you have selfish spouses. All they care about themselves. You know, there are some brothers that have so high expectations and they always expect their wives, you know, to be presentable to them, to decorate themselves, to be always there for them. And they forget about themselves. You know, he always wants his wife to be beautiful and slim when he has a belly this big and he's not taking care of himself. You also take care of yourself. Not just, you know, your wife, you expect her to take care of herself.
That is an important a topic to discuss. So inshallah, we follow and learn more about it. So we meet you soon. Have a nice time.
They told me that I'm crazy. Who you praying for? Told me there is nothing who you're looking for. Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer, I'm a believer.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and on the eve of the blessed birthday anniversary of the Holy Prophet's Immaculate Daughter,
Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, let us hear some interesting words from this Lady of Light about the purpose of creation by God Almighty. He originated things, but not from anything that existed before them, and created them without examples to follow. Rather, he created them with his might and dispersed them according to his will. Not for a need did he create them, nor for a benefit for him did he shape them, but to establish his wisdom, bring attention to his obedience, manifest his might, lead his creatures to humbly venerate him, and to exalt his decrees.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith, which has been transmitted from Imam Ali alayhi salam, the commander of the faithful. This is about greeting the people of the graves. You know, one of the virtues in Islam, or one of the traits of the believers, according to the Quran and the Hadith, is the remembrance of death. Remembrance of death is very important. It has a very great effect on a person, and helps him in his you know, avoiding sins and, you know, staying on the right path. And, you know, Islamic cities were built in such a way that facilitated this remembrance. Now, if you have a chance to, a lot of people don't live in Islamic countries, but, you know, if you have a chance to, you know, visit Islamic cities, you know, you can see this very clearly, that we see graveyards are, you know, located everywhere in the city. You know, they're not placed in the outskirts of the city or far away from the people's eyes, like they are in, you know, Western countries and in cities in the West and stuff. And you know, this is primarily because, according to Islam, Islam wants people to constantly remember, you know, that they are going to die. This world is very transitory. We will not remain here forever. And in this way, people can prepare for their transition from this world to the hereafter. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, when people pass by graves, the graveyard, they should say the following: "Peace be upon you, O people of the graves. Preceded us, you preceded us, and we are following behind you." Meaning, you died, we will also die one day, and we will meet you by Allah's will. "As for your houses, they have already found new tenants." You know, the wealth that you accumulated in the form of houses, those houses, now somebody else lives in them. You, once upon a time, you toiled, and you worked so hard, you know, to buy a house so that you could live in it, only to die and pass it over to somebody else, right? Another allusion to the transitory nature of this world. "Your spouses have remarried. You made such great effort to, you know, find a spouse and marry them. Those same spouses, they could have remarried and found another spouse. Your wealth has been distributed. Your wealth has been distributed. The wealth you accumulated has distributed amongst your inheritors. These are the news we have. So what news have you for us?" The Imam then continued and said, if they were to answer, they would say, "We found God-wariness to be the best provision. وَجَدْنَا taqwa خَيْرَ زَادٍ." Taqwa, or the fear of Allah, you know, and the fear of, you know, His power and His anger, this is the best provision for the grave and for the journey in the hereafter. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the way to greet the people of the graves in the words of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
Respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I really welcome you all. Here again, we have some of the students of Sevier International Schools, Brother Fawad Haider, Brother Hassan Nasrullah, and Hussein Ruhullah. So, I really welcome you all. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam, how
are you fine?
Yes.
Yes, Fawad? Hassan?
Yes.
Okay, alhamdulillah. So today, the same as our previous sessions, inshallah, we'll have one of the verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 254 on page 42. Inshallah. Brothers and sisters, please turn to page 42, Ayah 254 of Surah Al-Baqarah. So before we start, we'll listen, everyone, to the recitation of this.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا أنفقوا مما رزقناكم من قبل أن يأتي يوم لا بيع فيه ولا خلة ولا شفاعة والكافرون هم الظالمون.
الحمد لله, that was nice. I will be reciting for what? Hassan and Hussein. Make sure you listen, okay? And repeat. All right?
Yes.
Ready? Brothers and sisters, please do the same.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
يا أيها الذين آمنوا أنفقوا مما رزقناكم
يا أيها الذين آمنوا أنفقوا مما رزقناكم
أنفقوا مما رزقناكم من قبل أن يأتي يوم لا بيع فيه ولا خلة ولا شفاعة
أنفقوا مما رزقناكم من قبل أن يأتي يوم لا بيع فيه ولا خلة ولا شفاعة
أحسن
والكافرون هم الظالمون
والكافرون هم الظالمون
أحسن. Thank you so much. Allah bless you, inshallah. A very important teaching here we have. A very important lesson. Allah Almighty says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا O you who have faith, O mu'mineen. Okay? أَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ Spend out of what we have provided you, okay? What we have given you as rizq, spend, okay? Give, donate, give to charity.
مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ
Before there comes a day, okay? That what? What happens? On which there will be no bargaining, neither friendship, nor intercession. So, guys, there is one important point. And Allah Almighty also says, وَالْكَافِرُونَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ And the faithless people are those who are the wrongdoers. We all know that this world is gonna end. Yes? This world, I mean dunya. And everyone dies. So whenever someone dies, his life, his time in this world is finished. So he goes to the next world. So when he goes to the next world, when he dies, so he can do nothing to increase his, for example, a'mal, I mean the good deeds, okay? He cannot do anything because his file is closed, okay? It's closed. There will be nothing added. But if someone, only fathers and mothers who have like children, okay? Only from their children's side, yeah, it's open. Still, it's open, okay? Like if their children, for example, recite any dua, recite any Quran, any verses of the Quran, and dedicate the thawab to their father, of course, this will be written. But they themselves cannot do anything else. So before this day comes to us, okay, guys, we have to do something for ourselves. And this day comes, yes? We believe in the day of judgment. We believe in death, yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah, death is not something dangerous. It's just your time is up. Go to the next world, okay? Stay there. Wait until the day of judgment, okay? You'll be actually judged as well after death, okay? Before the day of judgment. But you have to be very careful to do good things in this world, okay? And to actually achieve.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Like before day of judgment, you're in Barzakh.
Yes.
So is there any
thawab? There is a judgment as well, yes.
Is there any thawab or guna counted there?
Like you cannot do anything. Because the guna, we mean the ma'asiyah, for example, okay? The sin. Or, for example, rewards or punishments, okay? They mean here in this world. They have meaning. What do we mean? For example, here, if in this world, before death, if you do something good, you will be rewarded. If you do something bad, you will not be rewarded. You will be punished. But in the, for example, when you go to, even in paradise, there is no sin, okay? Because there is no, actually, any responsibility for you, okay? There is no haram thing. Haram and halal things, they have meaning here in this world, okay? Understood? Yeah, inshallah, when you go to paradise, there is nothing bad there, okay? You can do, whatever you do is good. Inshallah, fawad makes dua. So in before after that, of course, you have barzakh. Okay, in barzakh also you have heaven and paradise, but it's not forever, okay? It's just, what do we say, temporary, okay? You're being given rewards also. You're in adab as well, okay? Some people are in adab there until the day of judgment. Some people are in. So guys, that was a short explanation, and we have to remember that before we die, we have to do something for ourselves. Because in the day of judgment or after our death, no one is there to help us. No one is going to increase the good deeds of us, okay? So Hassan Hussein, that's the message of this ayah. But you need to refer to the Tafsir book, okay? For more explanation.
IRIB English Radio, in cooperation with Xavier International Schools, presents Let's Recite the Quran.
Now the Tajweed rules. يا أيها الذين آمنوا أنفقوا مما رزقناكم من قبل أن يأتي يوم لا بيع فيه ولا خلة ولا شفاعة والكافرون هم الظالمون. The first point is on the mad in the word يا أيها. Is this wajib? We have discussed it a lot.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And you have not learned it. The answer is no. It's not wajib. Yes. Because yeah is one word. Ayu is another word. So two words. Actually, they are compound words, but it's two words.
Yes.
So it's not wajib. Sometimes you can skip the mat, you can stretch the sound. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. Or يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. You have the option. You have the right to choose. آمَنُوا. Here also, آمَنُوا. Wow, mad. حروف المد are three, yes? Alif mad, wow mad, ya mad. These three. Yes? And plus, you have what? حَمْزَة. آمَنُوا. Here you have wow mad, plus Hamza. So is the mad wajib here or no?
Wajib.
Wajib, mashallah.
No, no. It's not.
Mashallah, no, it's not wajib. So mashallah goes to which one? To you or Fawad? So Hassan, Yujit, is it wajib or jais? Look, the rule wajib. Says this. The rule says this. If the mad, harful mad, wow, and Hamza, if they are both in the same word, in one word, it's wajib. If they are in two separate words, it's not wajib. Now you deal. Judge, are they in the same word? Huh?
Yeah, yes.
No. Hussein, are they in the same word? Amanu is one word. Anfiqu is another word. Two words.
Different words.
Different words. So it's
both
not wajib.
Both of them have Hamza.
No, they don't. That is, that's Alif is just... there, okay, it does nothing, it has nothing to do, okay. Amanu anfiqu, so mad is not wajib, it's jais. Anfiqu, nun sakin plus fa, you have to say that the rule ikhfa is applied, which means you have to hide the sound of the nun sakin here. Anfiqu, anfiqu, and a nasal sound you have to produce. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنْفِقُوا أَنْفِقُوا Right? Hide the sound. مِمَّا نُن ساكين plus ميم إدغام مِمَّا رَزَقَ
قَلْقَلَ
echoing sound. رَزَقَنَاكُمْ Mim sakin, razaqnakum, mim sakin, plus min, starts with mim. Mim sakin plus mim. Fawad? Idgham?
Mithlain.
Mithlain. The two identical letters. Razaqnakum mim. Yes? Min qabli. Nun sakin plus qaf.
Ikhfa in a way that the next letter...
It should be clear the next letter is qaf. Min qabli. مِن قَبْلِ أَن يَأْتِيَ أَن نُن ساكن plus يَا حسن says نُن ساكن plus يَا what rule is applied?
إِقْلَاب
that's wrong Fawad just made you fall in mistake so إِقْلَاب now إِدْغَام right? You wanted to say إِدْغَام إِدْغَام yes? merging sound
yes.
أَيَّأْتِيَ أَيَّأْتِيَ right? So, yawmun mim has a tanween, and next word starts with lam. Tanween plus lam, again. Hassan, again, say what rule is applied?
Idgham.
Idgham, yes. We join them, we merge them. Yawmul la bay'un. Yes, bay'un fi. Tanween plus fa. The rule ikhfa is applied, yes? بيعون فيه right بيعون فيه ولا خلة إدغام ولا شفاعة قلات tells you that it's better to
stop
here والكافرون هم الظالمون ظالمون pronunciation of the letter ظا with an آ sound والكافرون هم الظالمون for sure they are yes they are the wrongdoers so That's all about this ayah. Inshallah, in the coming sessions, we'll be having the next verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. Okay? We'll talk about them. We'll practice the tajweed rules. Brothers and sisters, thank you so much for being with us in this session. We recommend you stay with us on IRIB English Radio every day with a Quranic session. So, let's give thanks to IRIB English Radio and also Sevier International Schools Network for cooperations. And see you inshallah in the next session. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد عجل
فرجهم Let's recite the Quran A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي
صفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
If you ask me why do we stand here so unafraid of everything around me proudly I would say I am a Muslim If you ask her why does she dress that way all covered up in a world that gives it all away proudly she would say I am a Muslim
Islamic laws
If you ask him why does he still pray five times a day when so many others have strayed smiling he would say I am a Muslim Din al-Islam dini wa al-Azam ghayru dini Muhammad illi hadini
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim In the name of God, welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We're going to talk about banking in this episode and the upcoming episodes, hopefully, or inshallah, according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before we start our program, let's take a listen to a short biography.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching Makassas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching, one can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just, and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, Aisha Tawid, our guest speaker. We are talking about financial matters, banking, silent partnership, and the like. According to the fatwas and views of Ayatollah Khamenei. Well, Sheikh Shabit, is it permissible to give money or to take money with the intention of trading and making a profit that is to be shared between the two parties as they see suitable or fit without this being described or called as usury or riba?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, if giving or taking money was done with the intention of trading by way of a loan, of course, all the profit should go to the borrower, not to the lender, because it is not a kind of partnership. There is no silent partnership either. So the money, the person who borrowed money, he is responsible for the money, and he is not supposed to give any profit to the lender of the money. This is a kind of loan given to him. So, in fact, he, the borrower of the money, is also responsible for any damage or any loss if it occurs in the future. He has to repay the amount, and there is no profit to be given to the lender of the amount or to the creditor, because basically this is a kind of loan, and there is no profit that the lender of the money or the creditor should be entitled to it. Now, the lender has a right to nothing apart from the compensation for the actual money he lent. He is entitled only to the principal amount. He should not demand any share of the profit. And of course, if the money was given or taken by way of silent partnership, mm-hmm. getting any returns thereof should be dependent on the materialization of a proper and legal contract between the two parties. And, you know, silent partnership has procedures. There should be understanding. And the two parties, of course, one should be the capital provider, and the other should be the agent, the worker, who has a skill, who has the ability to work, and who has the ability to use the money and invest the money. So if there is such an agreement, this is actually a silent partnership. And in that case, of course, the profit given to him, to the lender of the money, is halal, and there is no objection to him receiving that money.
Sheikh Javid, since banking transactions cannot be considered a true silent partnership, because normally the banks don't bear a share of any loss. So the question is that is this money which is received as a profit by the depositors halal or religiously lawful? I mean, the money received by the depositors as profit.
Well, His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, may he live long, says that the bank may not be a party to sharing the loss arising from the money it has made available to the businessman by way of silent partnership. So, right. So it may not be a party, and it may, the agreement reached by the capital provider and the bank could be such that the bank will not be involved, will not bear the loss and the damage. So this can be agreed, and there is no objection to such an agreement reached between the bank and the mm-hmm. capital provider. Mm-hmm. And of course, Supreme Leader says that this should not necessarily mean that such a partnership is invalid. It does not mean that this partnership is not in order. So, and it should not mean either that the partnership contract is merely nominal or formal. Yes, because yes. Sometimes it kind of is sometimes deceptive. Sometimes it's just the name is used while there is a kind of loan involved.
Mm-hmm.
So it may not be nominal as well. And there is no legal barrier to the owner or his agent stipulating within the framework of the contract that the working partner bears the damage or loss of the money owner. So if there is actually such a condition placed by in the contract, there's no problem.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the silent partnership espoused by the bank as the agent of the depositors is ruled sound, and the profits made thereof that go to the money owners are halal, unless it's proved that the transaction was nominal and invalid for some reasons.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Let's take a short break and we'll be back. Don't go away.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Mahajad, hosting program, and our guest speaker is still Sheikh Javid, answering the questions related to financial matters, silent partnership and the like. Sheikh Javid, let me ask you this question at this part of our episode or program Islamic Laws. You know, I gave a sum of money to a jeweler. Let's imagine this scenario. To yes. invest in buying and selling, right? Since the jeweler always makes a profit, in other words, without loss, is it permissible for me to demand the payment of a certain amount of money by way of a profit? If this proves problematic, is it permissible for me to take some items of jewelry instead of the profit, instead of the money, basically? Should there be still a problem? Can the payment of the profit be made to me through an intermediary? And finally, should it still be problematic? Can the payment of the money be made to me by way of a present?
Well, for the silent partnership to be operative, the determination of the share of profit due to the money owner and the working partner should be made by any ratio, you know, such as one third, one fourth, one half, etc. You know, for example, the two parties can decide. There is no objection. Unlike some scholars who believe that such a ratio should not be determined, should not be made, and this such a decision should not be made, because, of course, the two partners should trust each other. And then, if there is a profit, then it is a matter of consent. Mm-hmm. It's a matter of the two mutual consent. So that the two parties should, the working agent should give a portion of the profit to him on his own consent. But His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, may he live long, says that it is quite permissible to fix a percentage or ratio. Let's say it is permissible for the provider of the capital to say that he wants one third or one fourth or one half, let's say, of the profit gained mm-hmm. as a result of the selling and buying and the transactions carried out by the jeweler, and the example that you provided. So there's no problem. The money received by the profit gained by the, of course, by the provider of the capital is halal as long as there is such an